What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
So, do you want to talk about the combo you had with your nieces?
Please tell us about this.
For the holiday season, so I've been pitching this movie for a minute, but then my little nieces, let me get their birth. What is it? 5, 3, and 2. So basically, my nieces FaceTimed me the other day and told me we had to watch Jingle Jangle, and proceeded to tell me all about Jingle Jangle and asked me, do I sing? And I said no, and they were very disappointed that I can't sing.
They wanted you to like sing the song.
Because they were telling me, about like, because I will say this, I didn't know it was a musical. And so they're like, oh, they're talking about the songs, and they were singing them, and they're like, why aren't you singing? And I was like, well, I don't know the songs, and I don't sing. And the disappointment, and I have the youngest one, Kaya. She has a very raspy voice, but she's like very, very young, and I'm like, oh man, you remind me of like T-Boz and Sade. Like it's a great singer voice, and when she sings, it is so cool because she's not even 2.5 or 3 yet, and I'm like, yes. And I guess like kids would like make fun of her, I guess, when they would have Zoom classes because her voice sounds like that. And I'm like, no, you're gonna be in Jingle Jangle because you got the singing voice to get in the jangle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was great, man. They're texting me now saying, mommy, put us to bed. Have fun. That's the message. I tried to get them on the podcast, but they
didn't. That was cute.
I was hoping.
Do they have their own cell phone?
No, this is Whitney. So it's my cousin's cell phone, but I'm assuming the oldest one is texting me from it. And so, man, they cute. And I'm like, look at y'all. I love hanging out with them and then going home once they start going crazy. I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Whitney, take these kids back.
Did you have a favorite holiday film growing up?
I don't know. I love The Grinch and Hot Man Home
Alone
2. Yeah, I like
The Grinch, Grinch and Nightmare Before Christmas. I watched both of those.
Oh, yeah, those are good. I liked The Muppets Christmas Carol, which I felt like the set felt a little bit familiar. Like, I was like, it had a similar kind of feel to The Muppets Christmas Carol. Like, that kind of, like, enclosed, like, New England-y, like, or England-y, like, cobblestone, you know.
What about you, Tessa?
I don't think I have a favorite Christmas one. I like old movies. I watch a lot of like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Mary Poppins.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I've watched It's a Wonderful Life, but it's like in the background.
Mm.
I have never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
I was like, whose Wonderful Life is this? Huh? Where the brothers and sisters at? Huh? Whose life is this?
Yeah, but I mean, come on. A bell rings, an angel gets its wings, you know? Just hear a little jingle jangle and then
oh my god, that is what this was about.
I've been upset for a full 30 seconds the second
that was said. What this was all about.
You didn't freeze.
No, I'm just
you
saying freeze. Every time
you're physically able to move, don't freeze.
A bell like rings, an angel gets his wings.
No, we heard it the first time. You don't need to repeat it.
Yeah, and you know what the sound of a bell makes.
No, I don't.
Jingle jangle.
No,
it makes
ding dong.
Don't get deeper.
That's not true.
A bell makes ding dong.
I'm just saying, when you ring a bell, you know, a little bell, you hear.
The full title is Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Story. A Christmas Journey.
Jingle
you
jangle.
Didn't even don't.
All right, we're not doing full titles here. What is this? What is this?
Wait,
Doug
sis
loves
win.
Movies.
Sis win. Christmas win.
You do it with the song. Don't always call it Jingle Jangle.
It's a Christmas journey.
Why'd you freeze? Christmas. I hate this.
Journey. Hate this. Because it was Journey. Because
that was her name. Journey.
Okay, but for real, that's true.
Oh, I didn't even peep that till right now. Honestly, Tessa, that's real. I didn't even notice that till right now.
Wow, let's just start the show. Off in your head, Rod? Did you just hear a little
wow?
Jingle,
no, no,
ding,
no,
ding
no.
You're right. I'm no. sorry. I'm sorry. We're Thank you guys for placating me with this. I'm glad we all went on a Christmas journey.
Rude.
Wow.
Look at his face right now. He's just like staring.
Wow. Let's start the show.
Oh, gross.
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Jerome Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump. In
Black actors, man. Black actors.
All right. Wow.
I'm
honestly,
upset. I'm very upset. Well, anyway.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood, you better City. Believe I'm the magic man, G. Can you dig it? You can't spell magic without G. Oh, no!
Man, the villains always have the best
that was the
songs.
Listen,
that was a really good song.
Turned all the lights on. I danced around the apartment. I was ready.
I'm putting it back on. I'm putting it back
my
on.
My man came out in the Wiz green suit, and everybody came out.
Woo! You noticed the Wiz. You noticed that Wiz
in the audience. I'm like, oh snap!
There were so many odes to different. I feel like
was so much homage to old films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other children's family films. Yes. So many homages.
Didn't he put the cape on? Like, I'm about to rewind that right now. Go ahead.
For those listening for the first time, this incredible leading voice you're listening to is Jonathan
Leading?
God, he said leading voice? How do you tolerate this? I have been here for minutes.
He's been doing that lately, and it disgusts me every time, and I hate going after it, okay?
Y'all created this.
This voice.
Why, is Jerome Milligan. Why you get so in the
I mean, he said right, it
hold up. On, I'm ready. But the girls like it. The girls like it.
And this voice is James the Third.
Why?
That's James' version of sex.
Yo, James low-key James probably got the deepest voice out of everybody. He just be hiding it low-key. We don't know.
This is how I sound.
He sounded like Barry White.
Oh, God. And we have a special returning, what is this, six times now?
Hey, listen, this ain't even a guest.
Yeah,
this is a new
is
co-host.
Definitely...
This is like, this ain't... Alec Baldwin on SNL. Just yeah. Might as yes. well be a cast member.
But they don't pay me like they pay Alec Baldwin.
That's true.
Do you think they pay Alec Baldwin much?
I mean,
of course he gets paid.
I mean, I thought they got
yeah,
I mean,
like, more than they pay more than SAG minimum.
Yeah,
of
he
no, paying him definitely
yeah,
more
they,
than,
yeah.
You
yeah.
think they paying him SAG minimum to do all the Trump appearances?
He's got
they paying at least a month of rent.
He is like Alec Baldwin's renting anything.
All right, everyone, it's Tessa Claire Hirsch.
Woo!
Oh yeah! Woo! Jingle! I mean, I felt like we're in the season. You know what I mean?
I really forced myself onto this podcast. I really asked. I begged to come on for this one because this movie, I wanted to be here for this movie.
It's funny because John was like, Tessa wants to be on. And we were like, cool. Like, it wasn't.
I had to force. I had to elbow my way in. Y'all can't hold me back.
I was waiting to see how long it would be before Tessa started shading us for something.
I'm
I didn't
gonna
know
shade.
What it was going to be.
This movie changed me. There is no shade. Wow. My heart.
Amazing.
My heart is like the Grinch who then saved Christmas. I am
your heart
a new
grew.
Person. My heart grew. I have space for all the little people below now.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's the little people. Oh, my God. Honestly, as y'all talk, I'm legit trying to rewind till I get back to Keegan's intro. So y'all keep going.
That she wasn't shadeless. It was in a speech about how she wasn't shadeless.
Oh my goodness, that was. that was me perfect. Level trolling right there, like just right at the end.
All right, peons, I have time for
For those who don't know, we are a film review podcast. We review films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 2000 Christmas movie, Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle Journey.
I can hear the music in the background right now.
Well, yeah, I got chills.
Well, that's because literally Jaws playing.
Yeah, turn
what song are you
down,
watching
Jaws.
Right now? Magic Man G.
Come on, man. Magic Man G.
Yo, Magic Man G. Can we just talk about Magic Man G for the next 2 hours?
No, because he has so many more.
He had the puppet version.
Yes, you're right. There is more. There is actually more to discuss than that. But that was my favorite part. Let me acknowledge that.
There's a lot to discuss.
Magic Man G. There's so much to discuss.
So this movie... let's see. It stars Forest Whitaker, Keegan-Michael Key, Felicia Rashad, and then some of the, let's see, these little girls. I'm just making sure I got each one.
Yes.
So Madeline Mills.
Come on, man. You got to remember.
Madeline Mills. The new star, Madeline Mills. Introducing Madeline Mills.
Yeah,
yes.
She was great. She was fantastic.
The leading actress star.
So good. Her first thing ever.
Anika Noni Rose and Anika, the younger version of her.
She was so good.
Diana.
Ricky Martin is also in this film.
Yes, yeah. Ricky Martin.
As Don Juan Diego. Mm.
My man killed it.
Living la vida. I stopped.
When that little toy started moving, I was like, who is doing this?
I looked it up immediately.
I looked it up too. Like, who the hell?
And then Lisa Davina Philip.
Introducing.
Yes. But Lisa, not for long. You know what I mean? She's
Davina
here.
Which actress? Phillip. Which actress was she?
She was Mrs. Johnston.
She was great.
Oh, she was so she was good. Great.
I mean, oh, next my level. Goodness.
Everybody needs to stop what they're doing, not even listen to this podcast, and make sure you go back and watch this entire movie.
Wait.
Again,
time out. Not listen.
Turn off this podcast. Turn off this podcast.
Well, go see it and then come. And wait a minute.
And listen to some quality voices.
Wow.
Lisa Davina Philip, this is her moment. This is her moment. This is an introduction to her, to the world. This is her moment. We are going to see so much more of her. She is, we witnessed a moment here.
She was Oda Mae in the original London cast of Ghost, the musical.
Oh, interesting.
What?
Yeah, in 2011.
Yeah, she's a Brit. She's a Brit.
She's so good. Wow. So good.
She's been on the
and director, side. The director David Talbot.
I got so excited looking him up. I was like, "Whoa, my man been here for a minute." And they were just like, "Here is a budget." Like Netflix didn't care. They were like, "Let's give David E. Talbot the budget." They gave him all the money.
Yes.
I mean,
every star signed on to this. John Legend, Mike Jackson. Who else did the music? There was four people.
John Legend helped produce as well. He helped produce it too.
Came in, did the music. They were just like, listen, First Sunday was the movie. We all loved First Sunday. We all loved Almost Christmas. But you haven't had the budget that you deserve. And they just gave him all of the money.
Honestly, rocked it.
Yo, I looked them up and I was like, Almost Christmas, that's no disc. Like, it's a good movie. I'm like, but there is nothing in me that was like, oh yeah, that will translate. And watching this movie, I was like, brother, and he wrote it.
I mean,
yeah, and he wrote it.
I wonder what the budget was for this. We don't know because it's a Netflix film. We also don't know how much it made. We do know that the Rotten Tomatoes score currently is 95%.
Absolutely, and honestly, that
should
out of
be
five...
110. Should be 110.
Exactly. It should be over 100.
It should be
y'all,
over
this
100.
Is a movie where Black people get to be in, like, I kept trying to think about this movie about, like, when do we ever see Black people in kind of one of these, like, fantastical, like, beautiful, like, dreamscapes? And I thought about The Wiz, and I was trying to think, like, when's the other time, like, in this movie, no one gets turned into a toad. No one's like a lion. Like, they're Black people just singing and dancing. And it's so beautiful. And they got money. And I'm looking at Felicia Rashad with the braids.
This movie started. And every like 15 to 30 seconds, I would just be like, no, stop. no. And then Kat was like, you hating on it already? I was like, no, a movie like this has never existed before. Like, this is the first time I've ever seen this shit before. It was crazy.
Oh, God. Please, what do we do? I feel like I'm about to just gush over this movie.
We have to gush. We must gush.
Yeah.
This is a, like, life-changing.
Absolutely.
For generations, forevermore, will forever have this movie.
Absolutely.
And everyone forevermore will know Jingle Jangle and the characters of Jingle Jangle. This is a moment. This is huge.
Yeah.
And we must gush.
I got chills, man. It's so good. The fact, like, I people at home, just think about it in all honesty. Like, to me, the fact that, like, three young girls called, like, my phone and talked to me about a movie that for two, like, honestly, it was almost 2 hours, just about how much they love this damn movie. And
they also love you. Your nieces love you that they called you about this. It's so sweet. I wish I had that relationship. Yeah, that's so sweet.
They're dope. But it's like, how many other kids got to see this? Like, to me, the only thing, and I do not have a complaint, the only thing is, like, I just wish theaters were open and kids got to see this. Like, could you imagine going into a freaking theater and see, like, a bunch of little kids, especially a bunch of little black kids dancing in the freaking,
because I'll be honest,
I
mean, we can do initial thoughts. I mean, I guess it's part of it, but, like, this gave me very much The Greatest Showman vibes, where it's like, you just are like, this is just pure joy. And yeah, it's things that we didn't get to see it in the theater.
Does your audience know that The Greatest Showman is one of your favorite movies of all time?
Do they know this?
Well, I don't know.
We need to acknowledge that Greatest Showman
is
fire.
It definitely is. It is. I just saw it. It's great.
Okay, yes.
John cannot get through the first 20 minutes without crying.
One of my top songs on Spotify, not last year, but the year before, was The Greatest Show. That was one of my top songs on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible.
Several. Yeah.
I have videos of him washing dishes and singing to himself to The Greatest Showman.
Tessa, please send that to the group thread. Please.
Oh, boy.
Like, that's not even to blackmail John. It's just, I just want to see that kind of joy.
It's his happiest is when he's singing Greatest Showman.
But Tessa found out that the choreographer for this movie was also the choreographer for The Greatest Showman. And the choreography absolutely.
That explains.
Because the choreography is fire. It's like,
it is.
He's Australian, Ashley Whalen. And he did Greatest Showman. And he also did, I think he did the mob scene in that Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis movie. Remember when he did
Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits.
I think he also did that dance movie.
Which was a good movie.
Yes. It was a good movie.
And that was the good one out of those two movies that came out.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the good one.
Yeah, this movie was awesome. I mean, there's so many great actors in it that were being introduced, or at least giving a bigger platform. The choreography was fire. The music was great. The singing was really good. The set pieces were really super fun. I could nitpick here and there a couple of things, but
I couldn't. How dare you?
I mean,
I couldn't. There's nothing to nitpick. But it's actually your lack of imagination.
Oh, okay.
To your own childhood spirit that makes you not able to, because you know what it is? All of the things that he would nitpick are like logic leaps that a child and a free spirit and someone who's connected to the Christmas spirit and who believes would be able to do. But
the levels to which you just dragged him for no reason. You went to so many different spheres.
I wish, like, I've never wanted to be like a video podcast, but today you just saw John looking up. And that session kept going. His head went further and further down. And then he just dropped off to the side. He just saw him just give up. I'm sorry.
was like,
man, he had so much, because at one point he was like, no, I wouldn't do that. And then Jessica kept going, and he just stopped.
I didn't even hear it.
Oh,
of course you did it. Of course. So, freaking.
Oh my God.
One way ticket to Dragtown.
I wasn't ready for this. This made my day. Oh, this is great.
All right. All right, y'all give me your initials. I'm going to get some water.
he's literally leaving the room.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
All right, let's have some fun. Okay, Jingle Jangle starts, okay, with the Queen, Felicia Rashad, Miss Huxtable herself. You know,
yes,
with her grandkids, right? Her two grandkids, they're asking for a Christmas story, but they want a new Christmas story, and she brings out a box.
The fire, you forgot about the fire.
Oh, the fire, you're right. They were.
Yes, the little girl sees some magic in the fire, and she tells her brother, "Did you see that?" And she said, and he's like, "No,
it's just fire."
And Tessa turned to me and was like, "That's me, and that's you."
But also, this movie is the epitome of, this movie is almost like, you know, they told, you know, told the director, hey, what do you want to write about? Hey, I want to make a movie about Black girl magic. Like, straight up. Like, it is literally.
Absolutely.
Generations up. And I know it's about, you know, Jingle Jangle's about, like, you know, Forrest Whitaker. But to me, it's really not. To me, it's almost like you could say it's about, like, these three generations of women. Like, we start with, spoiler, we start with, you know, Journey. We hear the story about her mom, then how Journey gets involved. And it's just like this beautiful lineage. Yeah.
A thing that I also thought that was great about the representation of magic was that it was like both an understanding of like science and equations. Mm-hmm. And then the understanding of that is how you can then see and then meld magic. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. you had yeah. to have that knowledge first in order to be connected to the magic world. I thought that was beautiful.
Also, I just want to shout out, like, I know we said it already, but to see them have this kind of budget, before we even get to the puppets, it's like, just Felicia Rashad in this room, the costuming was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Just seeing, like, the fire dance, and, like, you could feel that they had support, you know what I mean? Like, from the very get-go. And then we get to the puppets and the flashback. I'm like, these graphics look beautiful.
I also love the meaning behind that line. It's time for a new story. They said that. Yes. I was like, oh, damn, this is good.
I was done. I was already screaming with joy at the screen.
And because it was delivered so, I mean, you have someone like Felicia Rashad who could deliver this line, but, like, a lot of times in movies, we get these things where people say something like meaningful, but it's like, I don't know, it feels so forced. And this, it was like completely correct.
The you know advertisements what I mean? For Tenet, and I can't find these early teasers, but the early teasers were like, it was literally like, it's time for a new kind of hero. And then you pan to John David Washington in a Chris Nolan movie, and you're just like, yeah, this is Chris Nolan being like, I have a Black man at the center of my movie now.
Right.
And it was like, it was like cringeworthy, disgusting. But, like, in the context of this movie, you're like, absolutely, yes, yes, new story.
The difference is it's us telling the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Which is so beautiful. And also, just Felicia Rashad, she doesn't act. She does something different. It's a different thing she's doing. And every time she says a word or breath, it's so filled with love. Mm, it's magical. Like, it feels so good to be with her while she's on screen. It's such a gift.
Absolutely.
Oh man, I have chills. You know, think about it now. It's something about when we go to that flashback and seeing the young version of Jangle as the greatest inventor ever, right?
Right.
Greatest inventor ever. This world is diverse. So it's not just like the Black city. It's super diverse. And this Black dude with his wife and his daughter is the youngest inventor, has one of the biggest shops. Matter of fact, it's so funny, Brock. Now, man, you mentioned that the set reminded you of
Christmas Carol.
But it's funny because it reminded me of The Greatest Showman, because it reminded me of, like, in The Greatest Showman, his shop was kind of like almost in that kind of cul-de-sac. Like, it felt the same, but almost like brighter and a little bit more. It just was colorful, more colorful. And I was like, oh man, I love that this Black dude has this shop. Like, everybody comes into the shop, everything's going to happen. And I just love seeing this first dance number, because I was like, ooh, we going big, baby. Like, because you know what it is? And this is another thing. After seeing certain musicals, you realize the budget and scale people have. And to see they had one wide shot when Mrs. Jangle was singing, and it was just a big pan out, and you could see almost the whole screen filled with dancers. And I was like, man, this is dope as hell. You know,
kind of really good.
For anybody who still is on, like, not sure if they like movie musicals, and they, like, think, like, oh, movie musicals are, like, cats. Like, this is this is what is possible. This is what cats should have been. It should have been jaw-dropping dance like this. The skill of being able to capture dance on screen and group dance on screen, like, there's a style, there's a way to do it. Everything about the cat's style, like, missed it, and it turned off a whole, like, generation of people to musicals, which is, like, devastating to me, and also the musical Cats, which was so good. And, like, Cats is actually a good musical.
I don't listen to
you are you. Wrong. The it whole, is amazing.
Isn't the whole play just an introduction to different cats?
It is so creative and so exciting. And this is the problem. You're using your adult brain and not your creative brain, which is like, you really miss the whole point of this entire movie,
which was about Jellicle cats.
Let me tell you what's so funny is when I said it, I felt nothing but fear because I saw Tessa pause and I saw her go, am I going to drag this nigga real quick? Am I going to be nice about it? And then she was like, all right, cool. I'm going to politely drag this nigga real quick.
Yeah. I got a little Felicia like Rashad in me. I have a little Felicia Rashad. I have a little bit just like of Claire a little Huxtable. Bit.
Just a little. Oh, my God.
The other thing I liked about, to the credit of this particular movie musical, about this opening song, was that, like, it really felt like we were getting a glimpse inside his head. Like, it wasn't like, now I'm singing a song to everyone. It was like, this is what I'm thinking and feeling right now. There was some weird, I do not know how to put into words how they were able to do this, but, like, it really felt like now we're looking, it's a window into this guy's soul instead of what it can sometimes feel like, and now a song on top of this movie, you know?
Right. And it's set up the relationships. You saw where things were gonna go, you know what I mean? Like, which sometimes movie musicals don't do that. It's just like a big opening number to be like, look at us, we're singing, like, blah, 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 blah. And, like, it introduces some people, but you don't fully get who they are. But, like, you know, you set up, you see Mr. Jangle, and he's the greatest inventor, and he has all this stuff, but you also see that he's ignoring his apprentice, you know? You see, like, he's connected with his family, but his head is a little bit over here, so you understand, you know, when he loses his inventions, why he falls into that kind of depression, and then, like, I don't know, it set it up really, you kind of understood everything really well.
I completely agree with you, and I just think I just want people to understand this is what musicals are supposed to do. The reason that a person in a story goes to music is because the emotion has gotten so big that we now must express it through song. And also, you should start in one place in the story, and by the end of the song, you should be in a different place in the story. You shouldn't be summarizing what has happened, and you shouldn't be talking about where you are right now in the moment. You should be moving the story along in song. And that's what a good musical does. And that's clearly what David E. Talbert clearly appreciates musicals and understands the structure and art of it. It followed a very classic musical structure.
Yeah, my slight nitpick was that.
Oh, here you go.
I just thought in the very beginning, I didn't really feel this way the rest of the movie. The lip syncing was just a little bit. I could hear the studio track and see the acting and being like, it's not quite matching, specifically with the younger Mr. Jangle.
I'll say Kat didn't know that this was a musical, I don't think. And the second young Jangle came out and the music shifted to like a hip hop song, she was like, what's why is it a dance party all of a sudden? I was like, because they're all about to get down. And then they did. But she didn't know, like, it threw her off too. And I don't know if I was just ready for it or like excited for that shift to happen. But I don't know. It didn't read that way to me, but it definitely did to her.
I had no idea it was a musical, but it's funny because this is the messed up part about me. Once I realized it was a musical, I was like, oh shit, we about to have a hip hop one, I'm going to see, like, I thought the songs were going to, like, I thought every song was going to be, like, it is messed up. Like, a black style, like, a different genre of, like, you know, this one's going to be, like, the R&B track.
Yeah,
this one's going to be the hip-hop track.
Song.
Yeah, this is
then we got the tribal music. Yeah,
I have no reason to think that. I just was something like,
well,
oh,
you
shit.
Do. No, like, it's because they would do stuff like that. Like Hollywood.
Because you've been oppressed by the white gaze for too long.
Yeah, that's true. I did see SpongeBob on Broadway and Plankton. He had a hip hop number that was written by T.I. And I was like, ooh, this is real good. And I was expecting, like, if you know what? Never mind.
SpongeBob musical was a good ass musical.
It's so fire. I didn't want it to be quote unquote blackified, but there was something about having like this black musical and having some of the stylings that have popularized black music incorporated into it. And they did do it. Like I remember at one point when they had the snowball fight, it kind of had, I felt like I was listening to like an Afro beat and I was like, oh, yes. This is fire. I was like, this is really cool, yeah. Man.
And Ashley Whalen, the choreographer, totally met that and like blended this amazing like musical theater style that he has that's very unique to him, that so much that we recognized it before we knew it was him. And then he also like made it like very, he like gave some like Afro, like cool stanky leg movements and stuff, especially in that snowball dance.
The girl was killing it, but then you turn over to Forrest Whitaker, he get that one little two step with the.
Yeah, he was doing it too.
He was like, hey, I got some moves.
He was trying. Like, listen, man,
don't sleep on Forrest Whitaker.
Listen, I am such a fan. But wait,
yeah.
So just to go back. So we see Django's apprentice. You know, Django has just made after the big musical number. He's made this talking doll. That's Ricky Martin.
Yeah, through like some weird magic drop.
Yeah.
That he had been waiting for.
He was waiting for
this one special thing.
Yeah.
To finally arrive.
Did that ever come back? Right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Like specifically what that connection was, that never came back.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We never found out what exactly that ingredient was, but he was going to mass produce this guy. But the guy was very pompous, like immediately. And then he was like, wait a minute, a million of me, you know,
it's only me. Like he was selfish. He tricked the neglected, you know, apprentice and stealing him and the book. I was wondering where this was going to go. Cause I was like, huh, interesting. And then we flashed to like, you know, Django neglecting his, like, oh my God, it was so sad. We flash to like the montage of like Django going through all the depression, like the money loss.
This stop motion animation was really beautiful. Like, and so I loved it. Like by the end, I was like, oh yeah, they were like, we're about to make a Christmas movie. We're gonna have the Rudolph, you know, the Heat Miser, Frosty the Snowman vibes. They were like, we're gonna do everything we can.
It worked really well.
Yeah,
didn't feel. Yeah, like sometimes people do that and you're like, what? Like, that's not, it's not fitting. They really, like, yep. I mean, yeah. Talbert did such a good job because everything fit together beautifully. Like, it was a full package.
Absolutely.
Everything felt right.
Yes.
It worked together like a toy, like one of Django's inventions. Like, it was just like,
it was beautiful, like, man. One of Django's inventions.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
One of my favorite scenes is, you know, when we catch up and now it's Forrest Whitaker and the guy from the bank comes in and it's like, hey man, you either gotta give the money back, clothes, or like come up with like the new
something revolutionary,
right? And I love when Miss Johnston comes in. Also, love that her name is Johnston and not Johnson. Oh. I don't know why that I kept noticing
me
that
too.
It was Johnston.
It's funny.
When she came in, it took me a second to realize she was hitting on Forrest Whitaker. I was like, wait, what's happening? And then when she came out with the number, and when he addressed the fact that like they're about to do a musical number, and he was uncomfortable.
He's like, are those background dancers?
This was the third song of the movie, and he calls out background dancers.
Dude, honestly, Forrest Whitaker was bringing the comedy in this movie.
Yes, he was 100%.
So his little like mumbling, like him just being like, "I don't have time for this." I, like, you know, like, yeah. You're like, "Did you not hear what I said?"
Or? Just outside when we were talking just earlier, did you not understand what I said?
He was so.
I feel like those were all
improvs. I think so too. I think so
too. It was so good. He was so funny.
He was so funny.
Also, he was so good.
He commit. I think every actor committed in this movie, but there's a scene between Forrest and young Journey. What is the actress's name again? I'm so sorry. I want to, since we're introducing her.
Madeline.
There's a scene between him and her, and then a scene with Forrest and Miss Rose. And it's like, yo, my man is just like, you feel sadness, you feel passion, like you feel lost. I was like, yes, this is what happens when you have a Christmas movie and you hire actors to do it. And like, they still can, like, of course, play it up a little bit because it's a kids movie. But there are those moments where they can really just like lean into it and just give the movie like gravitas and like grounding it. And it was so exciting to see that. It was so excited because a lot of other actors would have just been like, been in a Christmas movie and like, be all big.
There's a lot of Shakespeare actors in here. Like the guy who played the younger Jeronicus Jangle, the younger one, he's like a Shakespeare player. He like performs in Chicago and Shakespeare a ton. Like I think Lisa Davina Philip is like, she's like a theater actor. Like there's like a lot of depth to the acting skills that are showing up here,
Love it.
Yeah. And then Hugh Bonneville, the guy who plays that landlord or the bank, that he's from Downton Abbey.
Yes, right. I knew he was familiar.
He's, one of England's like prized actors of all time. So yeah, there's a lot of depthful work being done here.
Oh man. This honestly, I thought it was so great. And then we finally meet Journey. It was something.
By the way.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
When they were like, when they panned up to see like, to be like Journey and like the older mom or like his daughter, now an adult, I don't know why the way that they panned up, I was like, is it gonna be Journey? So small, yeah. I thought it was like, just because the way that they like, it was like such a reveal, like what she looked like, and then they were saying Journey, and I was like, could it would be so fun, like
so meta.
It would be a moment in the movie theater, everyone would just clap and like be like, yeah. I mean this other actress was incredible too. At first you thought it was like she was just gonna be a small part of the movie, and then she comes and does a whole song and she crushes.
I didn't
songs.
Because it was Anika Noni Rose. I was like literally having her in for that little scene that she's in the beginning, and having her not go on the journey with Journey, I was like, she's coming back later. And
she better do a song.
The entire house.
She better do a song. Goddamn it.
That is literally. I mean, that is literally like maybe my one complaint is that you have Anika Noni Rose in there, and we have to wait to the end of the movie, to hear her bring down the house. What the song she played in, like, there's different names for different parts of the. Of songs in the musical structure. There's like the opening, there's the finale, right? Like there's that she's sang the 11 o'clock number.
The 11 o'clock number. It's that one where you're like, this is everybody's asleep. She wakes everybody up. Yes. Okay.
Oh, what's that? 11 o'clock? So wait.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat. You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, and that's like a classic 11 o'clock.
So
number.
It's supposed to be the one that like gets everybody back into it. That kind of
basically, don't nobody give a shit about any other songs in the second act of a musical. Yeah.
And so then all that the other one... songs are like pushing the story forward, push the story forward. So we get to the end, and then you get this 11 o'clock number where everybody freaks the shit out.
Which was the showstopper?
Is that it's Quiet Uptown in Hamilton?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is it in Hamilton?
I would say, speaking of Hamilton, I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say, I think that Jingle Jangle is the Hamilton of Christmas movies. And let me explain why.
I'm okay with that. Go ahead.
Because one of the things that Hamilton does is Hamilton does a lot of homage. Clearly, the creator understood so much. He was such an appreciator of other musicals and musical styles and different things like that. Right. And integrated it so fluently into Hamilton. And similarly, I think David E. Talbert, and I don't know who the musical director is. I don't mean to omit someone, but I think that David E. Talbert and the musical support understood music and had such an appreciation for Christmas movies and family movies that he so seamlessly intertwined all of these different visual and musical
Nutcracker
and character themes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Nutcracker. I think Mary Poppins is referenced in here. Mm. Pinocchio for sure. I mean, Rudolph. Yeah. Sorry. Rudolph,
I was looking it up to try to figure out too if it was like if there was like one music director or not. There were four writers in terms of the songs. John Legend.
Including John Legend.
John Legend and Philip Lawrence are the like standout names that every time they talk about
producers, who did
it, it's them. But then it's also Davey Nathan and Michael Diskant. And who's Davey Nathan? He has an article.
Yeah, really, really awesome. Yeah, and we get, so yeah, basically following this story is, you know, it's been, was it 20 years?
I think
And the daughter has grown up and she has a daughter of her own now, Journey. Forrest Whitaker sends this letter to his daughter because he is trying to find, he's missing the magic, he's missing something, and he needs to create something revolutionary or he's finally going to lose this building that's been converted into a pawn shop. And she sends her, and Journey goes there, and at first, I mean, they have this funny bit where they're like, he's like, he's like, I'm your granddaughter, and he's like,
he's allegedly. Like, the name begins with, has a U in it.
So that funny. Scene they was have so to have crazy. A U in it.
He was like, she wouldn't name.
Oh yeah, there's a U there.
The thing that made you sad a little bit is that he was so untrusting that he made her sign a contract. Because, you know, I feel like
I thought that scene was so funny.
That was, I
he
love
pulls
that.
Out a scroll. The contract is huge.
So this that was basically this gave me Willy Wonka vibes.
Yes, it did. Yes,
yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
And so did the flying was a little was Mary Poppins. It was also Willy Wonka because they
in the
fan.
And then also Peter Pan, because you have to believe in order to be able
and
to fly.
Also so Peter Pan beautiful. Because you have to believe. Exactly. Absolutely. And the robot that we finally get introduced to looks like Wally.
Yeah.
It's got the Wally eye.
Was it Buddy 3000? Oh, wait. What's the friend's name?
Buddy 3000, which is...
The friend's name is Edison Latimer. Edison. That's that little boy's name.
It is Latimer, because I was... Yeah. It was so funny, because they called it Edison, and Latimer. I was like, oh, that's cool. His name's Edison, but I wish his name was like Louis Latimer. And wait, so his last name is Latimer?
His last name is Latimer.
Well, there you go.
So
when he came out, we had already seen him in the movie, but when he comes out once Journey is there, at the same time in unison, unprompted, Kat and I both said, love interest.
Yep.
Hilarious. I literally was like, is that a young Jamil White? He looked straight up like Urkel when he first came in.
Where is he from?
This kid was so good, dude.
I'm okay.
Dyer. This was his first acting role.
What?
This is his first role on IMDb. He's not even done anything, not even a small thing.
Props to casting.
He was so good.
Every single person on here felt like, oh my gosh, look at the stars. I do think this is going to be a movie that we look back and go, wow, can you believe all those famous people were in this movie?
I mean, these
together?
Kids are going to be really hope so huge. I mean,
I think it's going to be.
I don't know. It was just exciting to watch. And then,
I wonder who did the casting. The casting
where
was great.
Especially after like 2020, it's like, man, they were just like warm-hearted moments that just felt good. Like watching them fly, like watching these kids fly with this robot felt so good.
Which was also crazy because it was just like, wait, what's happening?
I was 100% there.
Because the robot starts flying, you're like, that's cool. And then they start flying. I was like, wait, what?
We never know why anybody can fly, but you know what? It's Christmas, man.
Why can he make them fly?
Because they believed.
Because the robot believed, was like, I always worked.
That's all you need.
But the robot was a and part of it somehow. Shot. They only flew when the robot was there.
Because the robot the was second Force Whitaker came out,
the robot said, oh no, less belief. And then they all fell.
All right, now we're at my favorite scene when we hear the story about Magic Man G, baby. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm such a fan. Listen, I'm such a fan. And the thing is, watching Keegan do this scene,
Magic Man G,
it was cool because at this moment, it felt like when I think about Key and Peele and how much that meant to like comedy, watching this scene, it just shows like, yo, they both are doing the thing that they love to do right now. It's like Jordan gets to direct these horror movies. And Keegan gets to do, like, he always talks about doing Broadway. He always talks about musicals. And, like, he is in a big budget Black Christmas musical. Like, he's in it. I mean, there's one part when he's doing his musical moment and he's about to do a spin to, like, dive off of the stage. And I'm like, yo, you see just joy in this man's face. And I'm like, oh!
When he did the clapping, like, there was, like, he like was so into it. I was like, oh my God.
This gave me Wiz vibes to no end.
In the
musical version of the Wiz, like the stage version, there's a song called You Wanted to Meet the Wizard. So You Wanted to Meet the Wizard. And the wizard comes out and just showboats for like the whole song. And you know he doesn't have any powers because he's the Wiz. And you're like, you can't do shit. But the whole song is like how great he is. It gave me those vibes so hard. We know he can't, he has no talent. And he's just talking about how great he is.
I was just going to say the thing that really like rocked me, because we know that Keegan-Michael Key can like just like play this like cocky, flamboyant like guy. Like he just can do it in so many different ways. But what I loved, and I don't know how much this is Keegan and how much this is David E. Talbert, but or really understanding their well-matched meeting, the moments when he, right before he presented Buddy 3000 and he's breathing and ready to like, the right before the curtains open, and he really reveals the depth of character that he's owning in this, like that he's struggling, that he's nervous, that he really is still this like little apprentice trying to prove himself. We got all of that just from him breathing and blinking before the curtain opens.
Oh yeah.
And he reveals it. And another moment that I loved of his, which was just like, God, you're good, was when he was in the alley and he's talking to Journey and trying to convince her. I just think he does very depth. Like that's a scene to watch over and over because his moments in that are so complex. He's like, you can see him like readjust and try again and make up. Like he's so good. And then he can go so big and so, you know, and fill up the whole space as well. I think he's very talented.
Oh, he's so good. Also, his intro into this, I think, is just one of my favorites because, you know, they briefly say early on, like, the apprentice goes and becomes the richest toy maker in the world. And you kind of see that in the animation. But then we cut back to his story to see, like, him, the puppets of him like sneaking out, and it has that kind of revolving wall. So you see the puppet and then it revolves into him backstage before he goes out. And like, it just looks so good. And then when he spins and the cape is just flowing, I'm like, my man does a James Brown thing when he's done singing, gets down on one knee.
How dare they do that,
James Brown.
Oh my God. And then,
like, to what Tessa's saying, like, he's so good that while he's singing, and it probably was scripted, but I do think it's a lot of him too. While he's singing, the robot goes down. So as he's hitting his last high note, the high note goes from like singing to the scream at the same time. Yeah. And I'm like, beautiful, brother, perfect. Beautiful.
Perfect.
Kat was waiting for that little robot to like crash by the end of it. And I was like, right. I hope it works.
The whole time. He's an inventor too.
Yes. I want it to work.
The younger him set it up so well because I really did feel for him, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so, yeah, his invention doesn't work. He's stolen all the inventions, used all of them, and he needs to get a new one, even though he's been Toy Maker of the Year, whatever it was, like, 6 times in a row or 8 times or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he starts spying on Jangle's place, and he sees them discover Buddy 3000 and sees them flying or whatever. So he tries to go steal it. And meanwhile, Forrest Whitaker's unbelief is causing the robot to not work. And he's just forcing Journey to do chores. And she's showing him that she has the same magic that he once did, that she can do the thing.
She can see the science. They have this,
she can see the science and kind of do it. They also we're definitely borrowing from the Marvel, like, kind of Iron Man little, like, that just stuff.
Yeah. Also, like, that hidden figures moment where Taraji's, like, looking at all the numbers and seeing all the numbers.
Oh, wow. Did she do that in that movie?
I forgot they did.
Did she do that in that movie?
I think so.
This is what I'm going to say. You shouldn't have brought that up, because that movie was supposed to be real. And this is a fake Christmas movie. Taraji should not be out here seeing numbers.
But there was something, I don't know, something about making the science, making the magic both sort of grounded in, like, an understanding of the physical plane. The moment when she's able to do it and she looks over to Forrest Whitaker and he's like, you can see that? And it's like, yeah, can't you? And he can't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. There was something about that that was like, yeah, like, if you can understand, understand physics or whatever it is, that's would be how you see shit, you know, that would be how you see shit, you know, to right. That would be a way to sort of dramatize how you see that. So I don't know. I thought that was cool.
I thought it was cool for this movie. I think it was cool for him.
I think it works in a grounded movie like that, because
it's like in Queen's Gambit. Do you guys watch that?
Yeah, Queen's Gambit. Queen's, that's a great example too. Yeah. Of like, yeah, she sees the board on the ceiling and she can watch it. You know, I don't know. There's something cool about dramatizing.
It was really cool how they used, I mean, I wish I remember some of the actual terms. It was like the square root of impossible.
And she said the square root of impossible and the circumference of spectacular.
So
look
good. I'm like, that
smile.
Is so
you gotta use the circumference of, you gotta use the square root of impossible with the circumference of spectacular. And he's like, oh.
The best, to me, one of the best moments of this whole movie was, is this skipping that far? It's not skipping that far. When the kids are trying to get Buddy back and they have to come through the blades, and Forrest is like, hey, you can't, it's impossible. And she goes, you got to use, which one did she say? Did she say the square root of impossible, or she said the square root of whatever it is? He's like, no, that's just in my head. It won't work. And she's like, it will. I believe. And he's like, I don't, I do. And all of a sudden he has that moment of just like, shit, yes. And it's just seeing... I don't know. I took this movie as, like, people always say it, but, like, adults lose their imagination so fast. And I think especially black people, because I think as black people, especially depending on where you are forced to grow up, because
You can't be dreaming and shit.
Because the world treats you differently. Like every time I see something happen to a little kid, that kid, you know, a black kid can't just run down the street, okay? Because, you know, they're being hooligans. Like, white boys can do that because they're just having fun. Like, a kid can't, like, steal a piece of candy out of a store. Like, white kids can do that and be like, oh, they're just learning. They're just kids.
I want to challenge that a little bit, because I actually think that there's something so spectacular and resilient about the creativity and the flavor of blackness that, like, in all of these different scenarios, like, you give black folk, you'd give them like a pebble in a cup and they make it into an instrument. Like, you give like black folk like the scraps from like the farm and you get soul food. Like, I just think that like the constant creativity and resiliency intertwined into blackness itself is like unstoppable.
Yeah, I think that's true in a macro sense, but I also get what you're saying, because there was a really powerful moment in the movie where, you know, Forrest Whitaker is yelling, Mr. Jingle's yelling at them because the you know, Buddy 3000 didn't work. And the kid is like, but you're the greatest inventor of all time. And he's like, I'm not an inventor. And neither are you.
Oof.
You know?
And it, ooh, man,
it was like that passing on of like, well, the world beat me up, so I lost my hope. And not only did I lose my hope, but I'm going to rob the next generation of their hope too. You know? And like,
yeah.
And that happens. Like, there's a legacy of that where when you have people who are thinking, you know, it takes... There are resilient people who break through, who do these incredible things. I think as a culture, as a whole, as a community, the black community has always done that. But there's so many people that get left behind because they're being just beaten down by the world. And then some of the people who get beaten down turn to the other people and they're like, hey, and we talked about this before of like, you know, even at, when you go into high schools or you go and they're doing like a career day or whatever, and they're hey, you know, you should kind of dream realistic, you know, like just make sure you get a good job. Don't set your goals too high. You know, we don't want you to be disappointed. Like, don't be disappointed like I was, you know, but people have that where they kind of already are putting these limitations on kids before they're even able to even attempt anything, which I think this little girl is like breaking through. She sings a whole song where she says the square root of possible is me.
Oh, oh, so good.
It's like actually literal. It's literal. Yeah, like the is, ancestors are looking down at Madeline and just being like, exactly. Yes, sweetie. Like, you are it.
Man.
Yeah. And it's a universal thing too, which is the thing that's so great about this movie is that there's race stuff baked in. Not because they're trying to. This movie isn't talking about race. It's just the with the black experience of the black lens, you get some of the stuff that's happening and you realize that it's a universal experience as well. So you get both. So people who aren't black, they're like, oh yeah, I feel that way too. And oh man, you know what I mean? Like it's
yeah. Perfect.
I agree, man. Like that. I mean, even the scene, I know we talked about it briefly, the scene when they have the snowball fight. There's something so fun about that because, one, we get to see, of course, Forrest Whitaker be the super smart person he is with his snowball. But to see, like, again, growing up for me, like, my grandfather was so cool to me, like, super nice, came down for the holidays every year, super cool. And to see this young girl having a snowball fight with her granddad. Her granddad got a squad of kids, like she got a squad of kids, and then the whole block just starts having a snowball fight.
They did equations to throw snowballs at each other.
It was great.
Whenever I see stuff like this, I get a little choked up because when I was a kid, if I collected bugs and I looked at the stars and shit, and I got clowned so hard. By everybody. But to see these little kids, she was just doing the math in her head. Yes. And then she would throw the snowball and then the shit would turn into four and they would all hit each other evenly. It was that type of representation. There's not enough of that.
Yes.
Be smart and black as a kid. Be smart and black. It's okay.
Yeah, it's true, man. Yes. And she was still cool as hell. Cool. Like at one point, Edison goes, I stopped saying something if you stop thinking, and it's like her face. Oh my God, her face.
She said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Which he knew what she was thinking. So he said, if I say no, will you stop thinking it?
Yo, her face. So and it, you know what it was? It was a perfect scene because they stayed on that shot for like a hair long. It was just her looking at him sideways like, are you crazy? You know what I mean? Before they moved on. And I was like, this is great. This is great, man.
So good.
Man, that little boy was so funny. Oh my God. He was cracking me up the whole movie.
And he wasn't annoying. I feel like sometimes those characters get very annoying. And even Journey wasn't the character that I feel like you guys probably know. I can't think of the actual like film term for it at the moment. But a lot of times you get like these young girl characters, they make them the best in everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
She was good, like her granddad was, but she also still needed help, but that didn't take away from like her strength in any way, any of the moments, like when they were trying to escape. Yeah, Edison was the one steering, but that didn't take away from the fact that it was a good part of her plan as well, as much as if it was part of his plan, as much as if it was a part of Forrest Whitaker's plan. You know, it was like...
But they literally, yeah. at the end, he's like, she's like, I couldn't have done it without you. And he's like, I know that's not true, but thanks for saying it anyway.
Yeah. I was like, man, it was so good. When Miss Rose, when she finally gets that song number written by John Legend and she's coming home and she's coming back. Oh, I'm going to play that right now too. Hold on, let me skip to
the end. The most exciting thing is this has got to get an Oscar nomination. I say it now.
I mean,
and
are the Oscars this year?
And guys? We're going to see this performed at the Oscars. And then I'm going to speak into the future that Broadway will open again. And
oh snap! Adaptation of Broadway.
Adapt this.
I mean, 100%. It would be so dumb not to.
We will get this in on Broadway, and you know who's going to be.
This would make so much money on Broadway.
I think Anika's going to be in it. I think Felicia Rashad might show up. Rashad on Broadway. I'm speaking this into the future.
I'm gonna say this. Because I want all of that stuff to happen, too. And for anybody who is near a drive-in, they playing it at the drive-in somewhere nearby in L.A.
So are like, they?
Yes. I'm going to see this at a drive-in.
I didn't know that.
And I'm going to sing out the top of my lungs in my car.
Let's go.
Okay.
That'd be so
That's
dope.
Awesome.
Yes. I'll put a link in the chat.
I'm sorry. I'm just watching Forrest do his dance. My man is just out here. Also, I know he said it. Look, man, the set design in this shit is fucking awesome. But these costumes.
It's so good.
These costumes, man, it just feels like. It's so cool looking at Forrest Whitaker right now in this kind of old timey outfit that feels like something you would just see Hugh Jackman. Or any one of these white dudes.
Yes.
And it's like looking at Madeline and like with the pigtails, but like, I don't know, man.
We need to talk about the hair.
Woo! First off, they got black hairstyles in this joint.
They got so many. There was like a cool, like Afro-futuristic vibe, like totally intertwined into this like imaginary world. The younger, what's his name? The younger Jeronicus Jangle. Mm-hmm. His vest was like had like a kente kind of pattern to it, and it was like mad, you know. So like they mixed that in, and they had like all of this little like Afrofuturism like stuff, and that and the hair, like Journey's hair,
oof,
was totally like modern Afrofuturistic with the like metal clock. Clogs and like screws in it, like it was so. Felicia Rashad's hair looked amazing. Looked amazing. Yeah,
I didn't even realize she had cogs in her hair until when Forrest was looking for her in the scene when she like snuck into the and she was like, and he was like explaining like, oh, she has, you know, have you seen her? She has cogs in her hair. I didn't even realize that.
I feel like that was improvised too. I feel like Whitaker was working.
Also, either that or he's just such a great actor. He makes everything feel like he's just, it's not scripted.
Felicia Rashad is also a person like that. Felicia Rashad does a lot of behind the scenes gifting, bestowing, like supporting, funding. She has a lot to do. Remember Chadwick Boseman talked about how Felicia Rashad was actually the one who connected him to
Denzel.
Denzel, exactly.
While they were while he was still in school,
she told
right?
her Howard. She teaches at Howard. Some. Yeah. Could you imagine being in an acting class and your teacher is Felicia Rashad?
When I was going to school, I was looking at that stuff. I was like, oh, should I try to go to like Howard to see if I can have some kind of connection to Felicia Rashad?
I knew nothing. I didn't know. Yeah.
I know. And you were close to Howard too.
Yeah. I when I was in college, I ended up for a summer
Someone at my church put me in contact with a woman who taught the summer acting program at Howard. So I ended up like volunteering there for the summer. But it's interesting because like before I went to college, like I didn't know how people did anything. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody in DC was like, yeah. Hey, these are the schools. As a matter of fact, talking about, you know, how I think Braylock was saying, you know, when Janka was like, no, you're not an inventor. As a matter of fact, for a lot of people, I think here in DC, it was, yo, get a government job. You know what I mean? So like nobody was telling you how to do any of these non quote unquote real job things. Like
it's such a testament to how much you worked, Jarrah, because now you are like a multifaceted, like producer, director, writer, creator that's like worked in so many different companies and avenues and like worked for yourself. Like it, and like the fact that you just like figured that out and made relationships along the way to get it, it's like such a testament to your love for the arts, and also how hard
you work. Stop it. Thank you. You about to make this black man turn red out here. Let me go ahead and get out there.
but it's real.
But it's one of those things where like, that is the, to me, that is the ultimate goal of like artists. It's like, we can get to a point where again, like Forrest Whitaker and like Felicia Rashad is done. It's like, and you can, I feel like one little thing could put somebody on, like one little nudge could be like either.
Yeah.
The encouragement. Cause yes, I think of Chadwick all the time. And you know, Felicia did help get him to London to study. But it's also, I think so many times where like some of these famous artists are just like genuinely nice to someone else. And that is all that person needs to keep going two more days. You know?
Absolutely.
Oh man, this movie, honestly, I'm so happy. Like this movie.
Keegan did it for our podcast. Yes, you're right.
Keegan was the reason.
He totally did.
Wow, you're right. Yes. Yeah. Man.
Absolutely.
Keegan was what?
Say it again for the people in the
back. Keegan came on before we even released one.
I want to talk about Lisa Davina Philip more.
Yeah. Well, do we talk about her when she gets kissed for the first time? And she like literally just is like holding this look. And I was dying. It was.
She's just sitting there silently with her eyes closed.
She's like,
Yo.
and Forrest Whitaker is like,
I thought that scene was so great because I was at home audibly cheering. You going for it, bro? He going for the kiss. How does this work? I haven't used this in so long.
And then she just drives away singing.
I love her. But she also is.
I think she's
Is, and it's something about. I think maybe, you know, sometimes you can take too many meetings, but it was something about early on in the movie when we first see her. And then the second time we see her and like somehow she's like, she got wrapped up with Jangles. She's like, I'm just trying to express myself. And she just keeps trying to get him out of his shell and out of this funk. She has a crush on him, but it's also, it's like, I feel like Black women are also always known to be the backbone and always be supporters. And like to see this woman throughout this entire movie know that like, yo, he just needs one bright spot. Even when the granddaughter comes, she's like, I heard your granddaughter's here. That's going to be fun. Like she just keeps trying.
It's so funny that you say that too, because in that first song, the thing that I latched onto the most was that like, it was like, yeah, he's down. He's not going for it, and she's trying to push him to get out of that funk that he's in. But Kat was like, I'm not ready for this scene right now. Like, I'm not ready for a seduction scene. And I was like, yes, it's a seduction scene. But the point of that is her getting him out of this funk that he's in. Yeah. Like, it's both of those. Like, it is true that's how she feels about him. And also, this is the, like, that moment of, like, you know, pick yourself up, you know, like get out of that funk.
I'm so here for it.
Oh, I just think she was miraculous. The whole thing, every time she came on the screen, I was so happy she was there. It was just, when she showed up in the movie, I was like, oh, we got a musical. Yes. Like, this is a musical. She is bringing it. Every second, every breath. There's a way that musical actors act through a song and utilize the musicality to add to what they're saying and go from phrase to phrase. Like, that's what she was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a workshop. She's showing you this is what you do with a song. Oh God, she's just yum.
Oh man, I don't know. Guys, this movie just made me feel happy. I would say something to Hollywood, but I'm just kind of like, hearing James say that David sold this off a pitch, it just makes me so happy that this dude got this chance, man. Like, I don't even know what to say. It's like, I didn't.
But also, here's the thing. He doesn't need a chance. He's already proven himself.
He's been
over
in
and
it
over
for
and over
so
again.
Long, yeah.
And also, any Black director, I'm sorry to speak over you, but I just want to add one more thing, which is that any Black director who's working with the little crap budgets that they're doing and making amazing films, like, then yeah, no kidding, they're going to knock it out of the park when you actually give them a budget.
Yeah.
He proved himself.
I mean, yeah, and I was looking at him too, because I was like, oh, why do I, like, okay, why is David Talbert doing this movie? And I looked it up and it's like, he's done like 30 plays.
Wow.
He's written 30 plays, something crazy like that.
Wow.
6 movies, a handful of TV shows, a few novels. Like, it's like, my man has done, there are like 3 books, like the 3 novels under his belt as well. And it's like, he's been working for so long. Wow. And it's like, they finally gave him a couple dollars to make a movie. Like,
wow. I think he produced it too, right? Mm-hmm. He was a part.
He was a producer. On
I'm
it,
just
yeah.
thankful for this because I didn't realize. Like, I will say, I knew I was gonna come in with a little bit of bias because I do like Christmas movies, and I know my little cousins kept pitching it, but I didn't realize how much I needed to see something like this, because to me it was.
Yes.
Well, people say Black excellence. Like, yeah, I think, like Braylon said, I mean, I think there's one or two things I could like say, but whatever. It's like, it was just so nice to see this budget, see these casts, see these kids. I don't know.
These costumes, this choreography, this dance, this intertwined mixed cast, this excellent legends leading, you know, in their acting, and then these brand new faces who are meeting these legends. Ugh. Absolutely, hands down.
God, it's beautiful, man. Yeah.
It's an instant classic.
It is
absolutely.
It is. And I just hope. I know it's been on. As we record this, it's been on Netflix's like top 10 list for like a week now, maybe a little bit over it. And I just hope it kind of stays there. I hope it has a resurgence back when we get closer to Christmas. I just want more people to watch this.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. Yeah, they need to push this movie for sure. It can't get buried in the Netflix algorithm. It's everyone needs to watch it because it's just a fun holiday movie that's filled with joy and life. And it should be at the level of a Greatest Showman or whatever, you know, like, because it is that good. It's so fun.
I love it.
Kelly Clarkson brought Madeline onto her show because she was so amazed by Madeline.
What?
Singing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Her singing was so good. That,
man, I can't wait to see what this little girl does.
There's a Fast Company article about this that I have not read. I've only just now seen it, but he's had this idea for 20 years.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Wait, can I just also say, like, you guys as like creators, I want you to hear the lesson in the movie and also of the creation of this movie, which is in the movie, even though Whitaker lost his invention, he still, because he's an inventor, it was about his belief. It was about the magic and the belief. And he had more inventions coming out of him and flowing out of him. So, like, no one can steal your idea. Nobody can take and ruin. Mm. And that doesn't stop you. Like, it's just
once
about
a great inventor, always a great
exactly.
inventor.
And that's you guys in your careers. Because I know you guys have had some ups and downs and you guys have so much. But, like, what you need to, like, remember is, like, the power of the three of you when you guys work together, you're unstoppable. And you have no, like, and there's just so many different ideas that can flow out of you. It's really, I think you guys need to just take the lesson from the movie for real.
Yeah.
And then also the lesson of the creation of this movie, which is that there, he's had this idea for 20 years. Wow. And he's created all these different other things and built his way up. And now the perfect year for mm-hmm. this to come out, the perfect timing. And you know that he thought that 2016 and 2008 was the perfect year for it. You know that, mm-hmm. like, but this was the perfect year, and it is the truest gift. I think Jingle Jangle is the best thing that's happened in 2020.
Yeah. I feel good. I honestly yeah. feel good. I have it up right now on pause, and I'm like,
Trump lost and Jingle Jangle was the best thing that happened.
Yeah. Well, listen, Bray, like, we at this moment, we officially know Jingle Jangle exists. Trump may have lost, but he's still doing shady shit. So Jingle Jangle is the best thing that's happened.
I got to say this too. I have never laughed harder than when the second time those backup dancers pop up and then Forest Whitaker goes, they are a group.
They're good. They are a group. That was amazing. Those all three of those backup dancers were incredible. I loved them so much.
I think that's who John was in a past life.
A backup
life.
Dancer?
I'm not going to lie. I like, there was a part of me that was like, I was like, damn, I couldn't even get an audition for this.
Yeah.
Yo, I mean, you could have been young Keegan.
I know, man. Truly, when I was looking at that.
Brillstein Entertainment is one of the producers, and I was with Brillstein when they was working on this movie.
I literally was looking at the dude who played younger Keegan, and I was like, damn, I missed out. I am not where I want to be, because that's
the audition I should have had.
I should have at least had that audition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That dude didn't sing, did
there's
he?
No reason.
He didn't even sing in that job. There was a part of me that was like, oh, well, maybe. And it was like, he didn't really even sing. He was like a part of the. I was like, I could have. No. Come on, man. I could have done that.
No.
He was so good, though. Sometimes I see people who are like me and I don't like them, but he was really good.
Oh, he was. Oh.
Yeah, he was great.
The only thing that sucks about this, and it doesn't, and it's just a personal thing, is like, I know COVID is hitting and everyone's being safe, but I'm like, this is a movie I'd watch. Like, my family has nothing but, I think I've talked about it on the podcast, we don't have boys in my family anymore. Like, we just have like a bunch of girls from like one.
What a blessing.
Yeah, from like one till my niece, little cousin, called me last week. The other one is 14, about to turn 14. And I'm like, just a bunch of little girls. And like, this would have been so fun to watch on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they would watch a movie.
You can next year.
You're right. You're right. It's legendary. It'll be around next year. I need to see Jingle Jangle too. Like, where's like what's the sequel? Like, are we like,
I will watch 30 Jingle Jangle movies.
I do want them to give us some time, I think.
To let it grow. But I would love to see Journey as the store shop owner.
Yes.
Running the shop.
Come on. Yes.
I do think that if I had grown up with this, it would have changed me. Because I grew up with like Rudy Huxtable as the person that people were like, this is who you're like. You know, like if I had had like Journey Jangle as the like thing that people were like, that's this real. Is who you could be like, this is who you're like I think that would really have changed me.
Yes.
And I think it would have changed the way people experienced me as well. Yes. Which is even maybe the more important
yeah that's
thing.
Deep
if I would have had Edison Latimer instead of Steve Urkel.
Well, James, he ain't had no bugs, James.
Right,
he ain't
exactly.
had no bugs.
Shut up.
He was an inventor.
He ain't had no bugs. I don't know if this is, I think he might be different.
Said, all right, I'm walking off. We done?
He said, great job. You're
oh,
an inventor.
Oh, my God. Oh. Did y'all feel it when he's...
Yes. I liked when he went to Journey, he said, I really like you.
And it ran away. And it ran away.
Oh. And then fell. Yeah.
Oh, he's so special. There's so many special moments in this. Yeah.
I don't even have anything else to say. I would talk to Hollywood. I'm just happy. So I'm like, you know what? It's just, I'm happy little kids get to see this. I'm happy little kids. You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that black kids get to see this, but I'm happy kids of other races get to see this too, because they get to see, because I don't think
I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I ever noticed it when I was a kid that when I was watching these movies, whether it's a Christmas movie or an action movie or one of these just kids movies, that they weren't black kids in it. I was just watching because they were a fun kids movie. And then when I got older, I was like, oh, all these things I grew up loving, I was never a part of this. So, you know.
I just wrote about this on Instagram that I think that there's a really important part about representation, which is people are saying, you know, with like Kamala, they're like, this is like so good for young women of color, little girls of color. It's so good. And it's like, of course it is. But the thing is, like, women of color know we belong. We have all the dreams in the world. Melissa's nodding her head along with me. Like, you know, like we know we belong. We know where we can go and how far we can reach. The problem is that people and other demographics are not used to seeing us there. So they're not going, hey, I've got this opportunity you would be great for. And they're not, and they're challenging and questioning and going, is she the leader that I should follow? Because they're not practiced watching it. So representation is so important for people of other demographics so that they can get used to seeing other folks in these roles.
Yeah.
Like in life.
Yeah. Right. This is so exciting. I'm happy. I might watch this again. Jingle jangle.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't do bits anymore, so I just feel like we should just probably just move on.
That's great.
Great.
Yeah. Because your boy just doesn't even do
bits anymore. All right, let's move on. Break.
I don't even remember the last time I did it.
Okay, you can not bounce your shoulders.
I don't even remember the last time I did a bit.
We got it.
Why? Okay.
I don't remember the last time.
Why are you singing?
I did a
That's
bit.
Not bad. Okay. That wasn't bad.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Honestly, thank you. Because I don't remember.
Wow.
Talk about okay, an homage.
All right. Can we move on now?
That's an homage.
All we can move on. I've been saying that this whole time.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ki Hoi Kwan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
All right. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films.
Wait. I think there could be a swirl in here. Because there was the white snow, and you could swirl that up with this chocolate.
Tessa, I'm not sure you know how to swirl.
That snowball scene was the swirl. They were rolling
I'm not sure Tessa knows how to swirl.
Mrs. Johnston could have gotten with the bank.
No,
how dare you? She was into Django.
I know. I'm just saying she could have been like, yeah, I'm into you, Django, but you know, like I told you, you got to have some fun.
Monogamy is patriarchy. Monogamy
you're right.
is patriarchy.
Wait, you're right. what is happening?
She can get with whoever she wanted to get with.
Miss Johnston. Right?
Wait a second.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Wait
too.
A second.
Get it.
No.
Miss Johnston.
We're just out here.
I'm not a part
fun.
Of any of this.
Just have fun,
I'm not a part of any of this.
She got this, mistletoe.
No, I'm part
she
of it.
Mistletoe.
She been making it around.
Just in this.
Oh, I love the nod to the post office, to the post service.
She was a postal service.
She was like, she was a postal service, and she was always like, "We always deliver our packages on time." And I was like, "Whoa!"
I almost
working. Did they know? Did they know the significance?
Of course not.
Not at the time, probably.
Oh man. Anyway, we rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if we think a film fully helped the cause, we give it a Black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. And if we think the film didn't really help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we're going to lift up our ratings for Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. All right. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Well, so everybody putting two? That's not against, that's against the rules.
Wait, how many is it? Eight fists.
Okay, I'm going to give it. I'm going to do it too.
Eight fists.
What is this show?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing the snowball stank.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Wait, I just passed that.
That girl got it, man. Wait, I just passed girl. That.
I bet you she's a famous Instagram dancer. I want to look her up.
I mean, she was giving it. Anyway, of course. I mean, this movie has to get all the fists. It's an instant Christmas classic. Incredible acting, introducing actors who have to have a career after this. I mean, yeah.
You know what?
It's everything you could want.
I want to see everyone tag their children watching this movie.
Yes, that's fun.
I want to see everyone taking pictures of all their children of different colors and genders in front of this movie, watching it. And I want them to hashtag Black Man Can't Jump and Jingle Jangle and Netflix. I want to see that. I want to see a movement of that.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
No, that sounds weird. Jingle Jangle Kids.
Yeah, Jingle Jangle
like,
Kids.
That was like so good when Kamala, when people had like all the kids watching her her speech.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
We about to say break?
I was just gonna thank Tessa for being on, and
thank you for letting me elbow my.
You
way
know
in.
You're always welcome, Tessa.
Thank you. Yeah,
do you like
anytime.
To promote anything?
I like to promote another podcast that John and I do together. It is called the Great British Baking Pod. I don't know if he's mentioned it on this podcast yet, but it is a great joy. And if you are a fan of Great British Baking Show, like I am, we just sit around and talk about Great British Baking Show.
Well, this current season.
We just chat like if you were sitting on the couch with us, and we go on tangents and talk more about the show than the bakes. And we act like we know what we're talking about when it comes to baking, and we don't. And it's a delight. So please listen. And also on Instagram, you can find me at Tassandra, which is fine. But I also would love to talk to you on the Great British Baking Pod Instagram. That would be delightful. And if you want to talk about cakes or bakes or who's lost and who won, I want to talk about that. Another thing is that I'm in a series called Now What on Soul Pancake, thanks to the recommendation of the great Rachel Edwards. And Black people helping Black people. She's my friend, Rashad.
I'm going to tell you said that. Hilarious.
And it's really cool. Weekly, I have a show where I interview a different activist about a different social justice issue. And we learn some stuff. We talk, we play, we laugh. It's a very cool show. It's been an honor to do it. And I'm so excited to have more eyes meeting these activists and hearing and learning from them. So, I would love for you to check that out as well. It would mean a lot to me, actually.
Doing the work.
Amazing. You can find us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you find links to our merchandise, where we have shirts, t-shirts. Actually, I think they have masks now.
Wait, are you serious?
On there.
Whoa.
Yeah. And there's a sale going on. I think everything's 35% off. So, yeah, check that out. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This, we got a really, really super short one. This is just from Mar NNBS. It says, great podcast.
There we go.
And you can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening.
Oh, man,
and
that was
we
so
will
good.
See you next week.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.